Hi, this is Dave. Welcome to this edition of Christian Business Insights. Today I'm asking the question, can your business become a spiritual juggernaut? We're going to be talking about the spiritual implications and impact of a Christian business. Now, this is a lot of this content is from the Good Book on Business, which I've mentioned from time to time. Let's dig in. In the Old Testament, we noted that businesses took on spiritual significance. You know, in the beginning, God created work and by extension business, and he created it as the venue in which he would interact with mankind. And that alone makes business a place of spirituality, because it's there where God interacts with mankind, among other places. But he identified that as a place he would interact with mankind. We saw that the command to be circumcised in the Old Testament was left in the hands of the business people. And we saw the business in the marketplace were the places where spiritual gifts were exercised. Now, all of those points we've made in previous podcasts. We saw that God chose business people to lead almost every major movement of his people. Again, there is in an Old Testament just a real presence of business as a tool, a mechanism, and a venue for God, therefore spiritual implications. In the New Testament, though, that spiritual significance is like given a figurative shot of steroids. The spread of Christianity in the early days was to a large degree achieved through the conversion of households, everyone at the same time. Now, remember from an earlier version, a household is an economic entity. We would use the word business for it today. So when you read the word household in the Bible, understand they're not talking about a family. They're talking about an economic unit, an entity, a business. The church was born on the holy day of Pentecost after Christ's resurrection with a major event in Jerusalem. The Bible indicates on that day that over 3,000 Jews were converted and baptized in that first day. Now, after a period of solidification, the church was ready for the next step, which is going off into the world and making disciples of every nation. And it was at this point that the primacy of business and God's strategy begins to become apparent. He uses businesses, which were already economic entities, were already units of people that provided physical sustenance, provided prosperity, provided a sense of identity, provided a set of relationships, provided a hierarchy. These units are already in place. God used them as the cellular unit of the infant church. Let's witness a phenomenon which set the stage for the pattern that continued through the early days of the church. And the pattern is, here's the pattern. The head of the business believes, and the whole organization then follows that lead. The family, the servants, the slaves, the employees, they all follow the lead of the head of the organization, the head of the business. God works through businesses to achieve his purpose. Now, let's pick up the story in the book of Acts. The apostles were active in and around Jerusalem, preaching the good news of Jesus to the Jewish people. They viewed the ministry of Jesus as an extension of the way God had worked with the Jewish people. It never occurred to them in the early days that the good news was to be shared with non-Jewish people, known as the Gentiles. But God had other plans and signaled his intention via prophecy. Here's the story. As Peter was traveling, he stopped in an inn to get something to eat and rest a bit. There, he fell into a trance and saw a vision. As he's pondering the meaning of the vision, some visitors arrive. They are emissaries from Cornelius, a Roman centurion who lived in the area. Now, before this time, Peter and all the other Jewish apostles would have been extremely reluctant to speak to a Gentile, especially a Roman military commander. But Peter then understood his vision as directing him take the gospel to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. So he went with Cornelius' servants to visit in the home of the commander and to share the good news with him. And this is a major turning point in the spread of Christianity. Now the gospel was available to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Peter shares the good news with Cornelius, and he and his whole household are converted. Later, Peter tells the story to the other apostles in Jerusalem, and he notes that he was visited by an angel who had said to Cornelius, "He, Peter, will bring you a message through which you and your household will be saved." So, this major shift in the development of Christianity was accomplished in the household of a Roman centurion. This is a pattern. Again, a household is an economic unit. And in a pattern that's later to be repeated over and over again, we witness this phenomena. The CEO or the head of the business converting to Christ, and then the entire organization following his lead. So we see Cornelius. Here's another one. Apostle Paul and his companion Silas were traveling to Philippi, the leading city in the district of Macedonia. There they met Lydia, a businesswoman whose business was dealing in purple cloth. At the time, that was a very expensive product purchased by the rich and the royal. Lydia was probably an upper-class, wealthy business person. Paul taught her about Jesus, and she and her whole business became Christians. Here's what the verse says, Acts 16:15. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Note, when she and the members of her household were baptized, it's another instance of the same pattern. The head of the household, Lydia, accepting Christ, being baptized, and the whole household, the business, following her lead. Here's another. Paul and Silas are arrested, beaten, and thrown into prison. About midnight, there's a miraculous earthquake, and all the prison doors fly open, and everyone's chains are unlocked. The jailer wakes up, sees the state of things, and prepares to kill himself because he knows he will be held accountable for the prisoners. Paul stops him and tells him about Jesus. And then, Acts 16:33, listen to this. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately he and all his household were baptized. Here it is again. The pattern repeats itself. The CEO, the head of the household, the CEO of the business, converts to Christianity, and the entire organization follows. Here's yet another example. When it came time to penetrate the city of Corinth with the gospel, again, the target was a business, but not just any business, but that of Crispus, the synagogue leader. I can't imagine a more significant household to lead the way. And here's, I'm reading from Acts 18:8. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Crispus, and once again, his entire household believed. Now, I'll spare you additional examples. I think I made my point. You get the sense from these versions that when a head of the household converted to Christianity, because of the relationships previously developed, the entire household followed the lead of its head. In the example cited above, these existing organizations of people, united in relationships, common purpose, and physical proximity, converted en masse. The biblical business truly had a spiritual significance in the New Testament. But that's not all. Following their conversion, family businesses, households, provided the nucleus of the emerging church. As Christianity moved throughout the known world, small communities of new Christians popped up all over. Now, following the act of conversion, they began to meet together and learn from and assist one another. Now, frequently, the family businesses, the household, provided the venue, the infrastructure, and the relationships that made these communities effective. In other words, as the household worked together to expand its own prosperity, as a business does, it offered an environment where people worked together, got to know each other, and created relationships with one another, just as every business does. So there was no need to find a place to meet. They were already meeting in the business. There was no need to create leaders. They were already there. There was no need to create new relationships. They were already in place. As an organization of people, the biblical business was already in place and functioning. And now, as a result of conversion, they begin to function as a church as well as a business. Here's Romans 16:3-6, quote, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet also the church that meets at their house." The church met in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. The house was where most, if not all, of the household lived. Was this church made up of members of their business? Well, most probably, yeah. Note in the following passages. I'm going to read several passages here, how the Apostle Paul refers to groups of believers in the context of their household or business. Romans 16:10, "Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus," the household. 1 Corinthians 1:11, "My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you," the household. 1 Corinthians 16:15, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts," and so on and so forth. Now we don't have a verse that says this business morphed into a church. You do get a sense from the passage noted above that's exactly what happened. It was the household, and again, that term is used to designate an economic entity made up of family, slaves, servants, and employees. A household, a business, was the initial infrastructure of the burgeoning church. Well, what does this have to do with you? So what? You know, what does this have to do with your business and your future businesses today? Not every business converted to Christianity en masse, and not every business became, you know, the nucleus of an emerging church. However, some did. This view of a biblical business is not for everyone. However, there may be some of you who want to use their business to create a more lasting impact than just making money. You may seek a greater degree of fulfillment and purpose in your life. If so, the place to look is within the family business, within your business. There is potential, at least for some, to move beyond just making money and providing economic security for folks and becoming a spiritual juggernaut. Okay? That's it. Bye-bye.